Welcome to the Mac Observer's Background Mode. This is your host, John Martellaro, and this week my guest is the CEO of Market Circle, Alekhine Jetha. We call him AJ. AJ, good afternoon. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's nice to have you on the show. We've known each other for a long, long time, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
I think it all started when I was doing a project back, 2002 or three, and I needed a database to manage my contacts, and I ran across Daylight, and I was really impressed because the relational aspects of it just came blindingly through to me, and I was amazed, and because most database programs don't really show you the excellence of their relational character, and I thought that was a really cool program.
Right.
And then we bumped into each other at, I think it was Macworlds.
Yes, that's right. A few Macworlds and WWDCs.
I remember, I think it was the first time I met you. I had a first original. No, it wasn't the first time. But later on, I had an iPhone, the original iPhone. Mm-hmm. and I caught you with a little BlackBerry or something?
It wasn't a BlackBerry. It was a Visor or something like that, a Palm.
Yeah. Yeah,
not a pump, handspring, and that was. I didn't, you know, we couldn't get them, so I quickly corrected that.
That was cool because I was kind of kidding you about that little tiny phone you had with buttons. It was crazy.
Yes, I do remember that.
So that's how listeners. That's how AJ and I got to know each other, and we started meeting at Macworlds and WWDC and chatting about his company. And that ended up resulting in an interview I did with you at WWDC 2009. Mm-hmm. And we published that at the Mac Observer on June 18th, 2009. And you told a very interesting story about how you came to Canada.
Right.
Would you tell us about that?
Sure. So we, our family was in Africa for a couple, three generations, and in various countries, Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, Rwanda, and the Congo. What it used to be called Zaire, but now it's the Congo again. And my father was stationed in the Congo for the family business, and we got deported. First, the rest of the family got deported out of Uganda in 1972. And if you've seen the movie The Last King of Scotland, the Indian people that they talk about in that movie is essentially us, not exactly, but yeah, we got deported from there. And then my dad us, basically, we were in the Congo at a place in a city called Goma. And we got deported in 1974 from there. That's how we, eventually got to Canada through Brussels, through Belgium, and then Brussels, and finally we made our way to Toronto, Canada.
How did that end up with you starting a company?
Well, when you go to a new country or what have you, you're not used to that environment, and you need to fight a little bit more than the average person that's already there, because they're established, the family's established, et cetera. Mm-hmm. When we got here, we had literally nothing, worst of all is when we got here, my father passed away actually when we a couple months after we got here, so it made it even worse. So we didn't have the comforts of being established, and as a result, you have to work hard, take some risks, etc. And out of that comes that typically either a business or something like that, right? So there's a lot of my friends that are in similar situations. They have different size companies, or they're very successful in larger companies as executives. For example, my sister's a CEO of a 2,800 people company. And so, struggle kind of forms you.
Sure. So did you kind of sit down with a Mac and start building an app, and it kind of grew from there? Was it Daylight?
No, it wasn't actually. Daylight was an accident. And so the way we started our business, or the way we started Market Circle, was I was in the consulting business. I was doing web objects, actually, at the time.
Ah, yes.
And, you know, I looked at, I saw eBay and I said, I can do better than that. And specifically, I don't like auctions, right? So I thought, no, nobody does auctions in real life. You know, you negotiate. So we built a site that you can negotiate on items. Unfortunately, by the time we got to something that was working, the dot-com bubble burst, and we had to run and scramble.
That was about 2000, right?
Yeah, that was was it 2000 or 2002? It was 2000. That's correct. That's correct. And so, I'm trying to forget those times. Mike and myself, Mike was my VP of engineering. We had to make a decision. Do we close the company down? And, we had borrowed some friends and family money, or do we do something and pay those people back? And so we decided to do something and pay the people back. And so we did consulting for a while. And that's where, we did some web objects consulting and all that. And so we paid off some of the people, and we built Daylight as a tool to help us get organized.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Those are the best tools, the thing that you love that solves a problem for yourself.
That's right. So that's how it started. And and so one thing led to another, and rather than just being the tool for ourselves, we ended up selling it. Then a few years later, we got out of consulting. Consulting is a tough gig, and lots of respect to the consultants that last out there, because the customers can really rail on you. And so we got out of the consulting business, and in 2005, I think it was, when there was enough revenue out of Daylight to be able to sustain ourselves. And so since then, we've been growing steadily, and now we're at about 35, 38 people. I can't remember exactly. And so we just keep evolving slowly and progressively.
So you're in Toronto right now, right?
That's correct. Yes.
How do you like it there?
Well, we like it here. And it's been an interesting few years with the politics that are happening here in Canada. But hopefully that'll change soon. And so other than that, it's a great country. And so we enjoy it here.
Many of us who are not real familiar with Canada tend to think of Canada as being cold, but most people know where Toronto is. It's just on the other side of Niagara Falls, right?
That's right.
And it's kind of a southern city in Canada.
I think it's Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal. They're not too far from each other in terms of, in terms of latitude. I think it's latitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so the major cities are within striking distance of the U.S. border. There's only a few cities that are further north, and those are usually not as populated as Toronto or Montreal or Vancouver.
Right.
It does get cold up there.
So what's the business climate like? Does Canada make it exceptionally easy on business people to work in terms of taxes and so on?
I would say that it used to be quite progressive, especially for technology companies. However, I would say in the last 10 years or so, or 7, 8, 10 years, it's not been attractive to technology companies. A lot of tech companies that were here have left, and it's because of the oil out west. And so that's where the focus for the country has been. And so the tech companies, in my opinion, have suffered. Or I shouldn't say tech companies. I should say non-oil companies have suffered as a result. And so the climate is not bad. It's not terrible. It's certainly better than a lot of other countries, but it's not what it used to be.
Are you a privately held company?
Absolutely, yes.
Are you you and Mike still the principals?
Essentially, it's mostly me, and but we have a few employees that have shares in the company, etc.
I think we were talking a while back, and I was fascinated by your work policy. You allow a lot of employees to work from home certain days. Is that right?
So what we do is we have an office, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays, everybody works from home. So you come in Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And in some cases, some people on Wednesdays also work from home. So, you know, they're in Mondays and Fridays kind of thing. And we try to limit all our meetings to Mondays. And the other days of the week, we're getting stuff done.
That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. At least that's, you know, it took a while to make that transition. We made this change, oh, I don't remember now, maybe 18 months ago or so. Or maybe 2 years ago, and you know, we had to progressively get there because we didn't necessarily have the tools to work remotely, or we didn't have the processes to work remotely, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So we had to work our way into that. That's, you know, so we're at right now, right? For example, today's Thursday. I'm at home, and most people are home. There's a few people that go into the office because that's what they prefer. Their work, you know, some people don't work well from home alone, and some do. So people have that flexibility.
Do you use some sort of software tool that helps you, like a watering hole tool, something like Slack or something like that, that keeps you all working together during the day?
Yes, we do. We don't use Slack. We use HipChat from Atlassian. So that's the tool that we've centered on. And so it's, you know, I don't know if you'd classify them as competitors. probably most people would. And we looked at Slack, and there's a few pluses to Slack, but there's a lot of other benefits to HipChat. So we've stuck on HipChat for now.
I think those tools are pretty cool, because even though you're working from home, you kind of have a sense of a watering hole, a community, sharing information. There's chatter, a timeline, and you can kind of jump in and see what's going on, or yeah, communicate with private channels to people. It's great.
Yeah, just like anything else. It has pros and cons, and so one of them is that you can be stuck in chat like the whole day and actually not get anything done. It's just like being at the office
right.
And you know, going from one group of people to another.
Right.
So sometimes you got to turn it off to actually get stuff done. And more and more people are doing that. We get the, you know, do not disturb on, because it gets
right.
quite, it can get quite...
especially when you're coding. Well, I do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It can get
My notifications off when I'm writing.
You have to, you know, yes. you just have to. It's just crazy.
Well, for the benefit of the listeners who are not really familiar with the Market Circle, why don't you tell us a little bit about your products, the product line, how they've evolved? Things like that.
So I'll start with, we have two products, Billings Pro and Daylight, and I'll start off with Billings. So Billings Pro is a time tracking and invoicing application catered to individuals and small teams, you know, 10, 15, 20 people max kind of thing. And the appeal there is that it's, you know, fully native app, you know, it's a Mac app and produces great, great invoices. So that's our appeal in that space. On the other side, we have Daylight, and Daylight's an organizational tool. And it started off as a group application. And so it was, you know, with all the tools that we have today, for example, you know, like Slack and HipChat and all that, it doesn't, you know, there's a lot of chatter going on, et cetera, but you need a place where you organize your contacts, you organize your projects, you organize your opportunities, and that's what Daylight does, right?
Yeah, you need to know what other people have done so you can leverage, right?
Right, because you can't be looking at all these different chat rooms and trying to figure out where things are at, where documents are at, et cetera.
Right.
So Daylight is the organizational tool, and it provides a lot of sanity to many businesses. So we cater to companies of size 1 all the way to 50. With our sweet spot being between 3 and 20. I mean, we have a bunch of companies that are bigger than 20. And so that's been our sweet spot. So we love the story of somebody starting out by themselves and then growing to, you know, 5, 10 people. It's just, it just gives me goosebumps, actually, because that means that we're helping a little bit in small businesses succeeding.
Where I really appreciated Daylight was when I was first using it was the tracking of business opportunities, sales mm-hmm. opportunities.
Right.
So you've got a client and you need to have information in a relational database about who they are, how to contact them, where they're located. Mm-hmm. And then you want to have information about the dialogue that you or other people have had with them, the
Correct.
Status of the sales, where are you in the sales, what are their needs, what documents
right.
have you sent them. Where are you in the sales process, and have you invoiced them or shipped and so on? So that's a great program for doing things like that.
Yeah, it is, and that's exactly how people use it. They either use it on the opportunity side, which is, you know, getting business. Any business has to acquire new business, new customers, et cetera. And then on the other side is actually delivering on the promises, whatever it is that you sold, the service that you're providing. So we have a project side to Daylight as well. And so the project side is geared towards delivering on promises.
So when you and I were talking the other day in the preparation, you mentioned something about moving into software services and cloud operations. Can you tell us more about that?
So right now, Daylight is a system, an ecosystem for multiple users. And what you do is you set up a server on a stationary Mac, a Mac Mini, an iMac, or, you know, a Mac Pro or something like that. And then the users connect from their Macs, from their iPhones, from their iPads to the server, and we cache data locally, and the server is used for synchronization, among other things. So it's a kind of on-premise, I wouldn't call it client-server because you have offline data. And so it's an on-premise solution, basically, right? So you run the server, you buy it as a license, et cetera. So for us, it's been a big challenge. A lot of our users experience challenges setting up a server, right? And the networking and so forth. So it makes total sense for us to have an offering where you don't have to worry about that, and you just, you know, pay as a service, just like everybody, just like many of our competitors. And so what we wanted to do was not lose, and all our competitors, 99.9% of them are web apps, right? So we didn't want to become a web app, and so we wanted to retain that same kind of, you know, client, you know, the same kind of native application with local data, multiple users, et cetera. And so eliminating that server component turned out to be a bigger challenge than we thought, and we're finally there. And so now what's going to happen is we'll be offering it as a service at a monthly cost or a yearly cost, and it'll be, you know, we'll be a lot closer to offering convenience like some of our competitors have.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is there a rollover aspect to this, such that if the server gets into trouble, it can pass over its chores to a mirror or something like that? Just curious.
You mean in our cloud setup, or
in our
cloud setup, we have full redundancy and all that kind of stuff all managed. It's an interesting, pretty complicated setup, but it works. You know, we've been working our way there so that we do have redundancies. The best part is that, remember, you have offline data, right? So you can continue working even though our servers are down, but, you know, we can't have servers down there. You know, we're going to be servicing thousands of customers. So,
very nice. Very nice. One of the things I wanted to ask you about in this show was, as I want to talk to all developers about, is how are you feeling about Apple these days? Tell us if what you can and what you wish to about your relationship with Apple and the developer program and how things are going there.
So, you know, I think I would say, generally speaking, positive, right? Not negative. However, there are challenges, and the challenges are that there's so much movement, and it, you know, it's part of the course basically. If there's no movement, there's no progress, so to speak. But you know, SDK is changing all the time. New versions of Xcode. You know, your old stuff won't build unless you spend some time tweaking some stuff.
Do you find it hard to keep up with the pace of Apple?
It is very, very difficult to keep up. There's two aspects to it. One is just keeping up with the pace of the developer tools. Secondly, is keeping up with the pace of the operating systems changing, right? And then of course, then there's the bugs in both sides of it, in the developer tools as well as in the operating system. So it becomes, and then there's all the platforms. You know, there's the Mac, there is iOS, there is the watch. And who knows what else will come down, and so it becomes it's a challenge, and it's difficult to keep up. It's it really, really difficult, but we have to do it. It's not a choice.
Are you finding that the slow inclusion of extra security because of the, you know, Apple and all the other companies are immersed in an ever increasing security threat, and Apple has had to re-architect in some ways its Unix operating system to meet these threats that never existed 20, 25 years ago in Unix. Yeah. So we have things like sandboxing and the system integrity protection in El Capitan. Is that creating any grief for the way you build your apps?
Yes, it does. Now, remember, we're a client. You know, we have servers and we have processes, and to make all our whole ecosystem work. So we, for example, we can't sandbox our application. This turned out to be a real big bump in the road for us, because we can't be in the App Store, right? We tried to be in the App Store. We got in there before the sandboxing cutoff, and it. You know, we were there a little too early in terms of being ready. And so we ended up pulling out Daylight from the Mac App Store, because it was, you know, we can't sandbox, we can't, it's difficult. Now, we've had to re-architect our system so that it can be sandboxable. I haven't decided whether we'll go back into the Mac App Store once we reach that target, because I'm not sure there is... I think the App Store is a great idea. However, there are some challenges in terms of deployment, in terms of, you know, speed of getting stuff out there, and of course the revenue aspect of it.
Right. And as a business solution, traditionally business solutions are not going to approach their customers through the convenience of the App Store if they're a really capable app, and as you said, may or may not have sandboxing and need special attention to business customers. So that's one of those issues too, right?
Yeah, it's there's two folds there. One is you know, the App Store, the way it is. I mean, Apple's making changes, so it's not that it's static, but it is more catered to the individual. Mm-hmm. Right, and right. So now when you have an application like ours, which is, you know, for Teams, well, who pays for it, and which machine is it associated with, and whose account, and you know, like that, all that kind of stuff becomes a little bit problematic, and so we, you know, the bulk of our revenue comes directly from our own online store. We just, the only revenues that actually we generate are from Billings Pro on iOS, both the Mac version and all that. You know, you need to have an online account for that particular thing, and then you pay us through the credit cards over there. And so we haven't been able to make the Mac App Store work for us simply because of the nature of the applications that we're doing.
Now you have Billings working with the Apple Watch now, right?
Yeah, so Billings, made the transition to software as a service a little while ago. It was one of the learning lessons in preparation for Daylight. And so we have that as a service, and so we're updating the iOS part of that equation aggressively. We just added multitasking as well for the iPad. We have the Watch app. We'll be soon updating the iPhone app as well, and et cetera. So we have a lot going there, and because it's software as a service on that side, we don't have to worry about paid upgrades, right? So, right. So we can just start. We've gained enough momentum in terms of customers. Not every customer is willing to pay software as a subscription, right? So we've gained enough customers now that we don't have to worry about that part. We're just improving stuff as needed, as opposed to having to wait to make it into a bundle that then we can convince you to pay for an upgrade, right? And so Adobe's doing that too now. You see that with Creative Cloud. You know, they're pumping out applications at a much, or I shouldn't say applications, new features, et cetera, at a newer, more aggressive pace. And they can do that because they don't have to worry about the paid upgrades.
So you mentioned the movement into the cloud and the server side of it. You've mentioned expansion into iOS and the Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you can tell us about that kind of fits in with your vision about where you think you're going next? I don't want to pry into any secrets, of course, so right. You can't talk about that.
So our big thing is, you know, we need to get Daylight out to the, as software as a service. So you don't have to set up a server and all that kind of stuff. You can just create an account and go and invite other users, et cetera. Still be a full-fledged Mac app with all that data, all that relational data available to you right then and there, not, you know, without any delays of reloading pages, et cetera. And same thing with iOS. So that's our short-term vision. It's been a while. It's been a challenging road to get here, but we're right on the cusp. And so I'm super excited, about that particular phase. Then once we cross that bridge, I have there's a whole laundry list of things that we want to do to help our users be even more effective. We need to talk again in a few months, and I'll reveal a bit more about that.
That's a deal. And you know, I think we're just about running out of time here.
All right.
So this has been fascinating. I've really enjoyed talking to you, and it was great to learn more about your company.
Well, thanks for having me.
So thanks for being on Background Mode, and thank you, listeners, for joining us today. And we'll see you next time.